Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is a good story. It's a good story, and it is morning. It's 9 a.m. in Central Time and 10 in Eastern, and this is not my usual time, but this is good. I am up. I usually go to bed about 2 or 3, but I'm up. I had my husband call me from work. I had 3 alarms set just in case, but I'm here, and I'm really happy. Bethany Kress and I are here this morning, and I thank you, Bethany, for coming on early in the morning. And I actually put the wrong dates. I'm lucky she's even here, you know, when I wrote this up. I have issues. We all know this. Certain things. Okay, and I'm really happy to welcome Rebel Inc. Press here, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about a few things first, and I'm going to bring Elizabeth on, and then she may have to go because, you know, this is the morning and she's got a life, and we just decided to do this show right now, you know, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. So, okay, and I will, let's see. I think I'll talk about the shows we're having after this, because I don't want to, you know, because we have a certain amount of time here. I just want to say a few things. Everybody knows that out of all the shows I've done, I love having romance shows, and I love having the horror shows, and I like having people on that we've not had before and to talk about different writing and different styles of writing and different types of love, and love is love, and, you know, all these things. And so I have written children's books, screenplays, many different things. I'm an agent. And I tried I started in romance books and years ago, and then I decided to do script writing and did that for a long time. I'm still doing the script writing. And I decided I was going to write a book, and Bethany Kross said, just do this. And when I heard about the short stories, I went, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And when she did hers, I said, this is good. Can I do this? And so I started to do it, and then Bethany wasn't feeling well for a while, and then I said, I'm not doing this. So then she got better, and she says, well, what's happening with your story? And I went like, I don't know. I think I'm going to be done with it. She goes, what do you mean? And so she pushed me to do this, and I enjoyed this. I had a great time doing it, and I am Madison Montgomery. I always liked that name. So, and this character that I did my book, Virginia Templeton, and it's out now. It's in a short story. And she was with me for all these years. I think I wrote a script about her 15 years ago, and it was nothing unusual for me to bring her out, and now she's out, and I'm really thrilled because I really enjoyed it, and I wanted to thank Bethany. She helped me get through some of the sex scenes here. She's a great sex scene writer, and I did it, and I'm on my second, and people are actually liking this, and I'm really happy. So I wanted to say why I did it as Madison. I did it as Madison because just I have had other names in my writing, and then I decided, you know what, I can't really say it's not me because if I'm saying I love all the romance writers, then I'm saying I have another name. So I decided to just say Madison is part of me, and I've mentioned before I go to Max Irving. So anyway, so I enjoy doing this. I love doing this, and now we're going to hear from someone that does this very well. She's got a really good publishing company with really good authors. We've had a lot of them on, and I want to welcome Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. All right, so you're here with me and Bethany, and we're going to have a good time. And we want to know, you know, when I thought this, I thought like, oh, she has children. We're not thinking you have children. So do you want to tell us how you started into this? Because it's a really big venture that you took on.
It is a big venture, and I'm not alone. I am a partnership of 5 people. So I am the figurehead, and there are 4 other people that stand behind me in very close support. We decided 2 years, August 18th will be 2 years, so we're coming up on a little anniversary birthday here.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. We just decided we were all trying to write something. I spent 15 years in corporate advertising and ad writing, canned writing, marketing, corporate prospectus, different public speaking things, so a lot of speech writing, a lot of things out in the public eye, and have an editing and copyright background. So I was always getting hit up, you know, hey, will you edit this? Hey, will you edit this? And it was the term paper. It was the, you know, kids in high school all the way to, you know, college. And thesis and beyond. And so I was always editing something. And then a couple of my friends started writing. And then my best friend started writing. And then my sister started writing. And then I said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to do that too. And so by the time the five of us looked up and we realized what we had done, some of us were better than others. And we said, okay, this isn't quite for us. Well, then we started down the publishing road. Oh, hello, hello.
It was
a nightmare.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
And we thought, this is supposed to be fun. These are bucket list things. This is, you know, supposed to be like this big, huge, look what I did. I'm having the time of my life. And it was killing us. We were crying. We were in tears. We were up all night cussing. It was ugly. It was nasty. And so then we decided, okay, really? Is this it? Is this the only way we have to die and basically be whittled and treated like junk for somebody to read, you know, of course, what we call our babies? It was terrible. And so then we all quit, and we said, oh, forget this. And then we circled back around, and we got together, and over coffee we said, okay, there really is a better way, right? Yeah, but what is it? Well, then let's just make it. Let's just do our better way. And Rebel was born.
Yeah, I think, you know what, this is hard, you know, I mean, like a lot of people, you know, they think they can publish, you know, I self-publish my books, but I go to Fidelity Publishing, and she's a graphic artist, she has a good publishing company, she's a great self-publisher, because she gives you advice. She told me to go on the radio, and I told her no, and she said, you have to go on the radio, and I said no. And she said, you have to. Then the next thing I did, and I did two shows, and then April Robin from Red River said, you want to do a show? I go like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I barely made it to, I was scared. I really was scared, very scared, and I did it. And she, and Fidelity, she pushed me. And she's unusual for a self-publisher because usually they don't do anything for you as far as even tell you anything. That's why I keep telling people to go to Fidelity. And they go to other people, and they make a mistake, and then they come back to me, and I say, well, what can I tell you? You know, because publishing is hard, really hard. And I think you've got it right. You've got a lot of good authors. I've had them on my show, a lot of them. Melissa Keir. I mean, I've had them. Woody. Like, I call him Woody, so I didn't even know him. He's Woody to me now. Just, you know. And, you know, and you, Bethany Haley. You know, I've had a lot of your writers on, and I have enjoyed them so much, I thought I'll do it again myself. So, I mean, it's hard what you've done. You know, people take it lightly and they say, oh, we'll start a publishing company. I've heard a lot of people, they say, oh, we'll just do this. It's not that easy.
Right. Well, I think what people forget is the writers, for the most part, I don't believe, save for one and a half, there's a stat for you, one and a half of our authors, we have no professional writers. We have no one with an editing background. We have a couple of journalism degrees, and don't get me wrong, give props to those folks. But again, I mean, that, you know, doesn't necessarily a writer make either. So
exactly.
You're not dealing with professional writers, number one. You're dealing with people. You're dealing with people. I have one of my writers is at Boy Scout camp this week, and she's doing edits every night by flashlight at Boy Scout camp.
Right.
These are people with kids, and, you know, it is, I think everyone forgets these are just people first.
Not me. That's why I have them on my show a lot of times, because it's true. Leanne Murphy, I mean, all of these people that have been on, you know, they are people. We have lives, and that's what I'm saying. You know, they just think, oh, you know, erotica, this romance, this, you know, and they don't think of everybody as a person. These are just characters that are telling the story. These are not us. These are just what we've come up with. And you're not writing all these. The authors are writing and their characters are writing. So it's just a form of writing. And almost in every book, a bestseller, whatever, it doesn't matter, on the New York list, there's sex in it.
Well, of course.
It's life. I mean, that's true, though. So I think what you've done is a great thing. So, you know, so you're happy, you know, by your voice, you know, and all the, you're happy that you did this. I can see this because you're enjoying what you do, and that's really what counts at the end of the day.
I love what I do. That is the easiest question to answer is, would you do it again? Do you ever think about closing? Are you still loving it? Yes, I'd do it again. No, I will never close. I can have one author, and Rebel will survive. And I would do it in a heartbeat, absolutely.
Yep. But, you know, I mean, you like this, and it shows, because, and you're, the one thing that you're doing that is, I think, something that is the most important to me is you're bringing in new writers and showing them the way, and then sometimes a writer just needs someone to say yes, and then they become really, really good.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, somebody said to me, have you noticed that some of your first stories aren't as strong as others? And no offense, if this offends anybody, sorry in advance, but once you get to know me, well, duh, was my response.
Well, we just won't tell them about this show. We just won't mention the show.
You have to listen to this. When a new writer comes in, I don't ever expect the first piece to be as good as the second or the third. And as Bethany, who's on here, will attest, first edits look very different than that freshman release is very different than the sophomore release and hopefully the senior release. And some of my writers got back second and third story edits and went, well, this doesn't look like the first one. Right, because the onus is more on you now. You should be learning. You should be knowing. But you didn't go through the whole thing. You only did X. Absolutely. That's your job. Then we'll take a second pass. There's a real progression that a writer goes through between releases. Absolutely.
Right. I mean, and but you know, but I think a lot of people don't realize that you just don't put out a book and you go like, okay, fine, here it is. You know, I mean, I know myself what it happens. I do so many copies sometimes of what I'm doing, and then sometimes what does happen, though, unfortunately, is sometimes you forget what you didn't, that you, to put something in that you know that your writer needs to know. And like my editor says to me, like, what, and I always go like, okay, what did I do now? And he says, like, what, why is this and why is that? Because sometimes I know it, but you have to really let the reader know it, and sometimes you don't.
Right, absolutely.
So I think that that's, you know, for me it's been a problem, and I see, though, but you have a lot of authors now, and, you know, most importantly, you do other genres. You're doing a lot of different things. Do you want to, like, maybe talk on what the, you know, you've been in this direction, it's just maybe people aren't knowing that you have a lot of other things to offer.
Yeah, we do. When it started, the only rule was it had to be about love, and it had to be a happy for now. You know, they're not always happy ever after, so we understand that, but a happy for now. You know, we couldn't leave things just hanging in some awful, you know, awful ledge. Well, then I started getting fabulous stories that started maybe venturing from that. And so I said, okay, wait a second. So we are very proud that while 90% of the house is still a happy for now, happily ever after type romance, be it, you know, a het romance or an MM or through the subgenres of romance, we have a steampunk contingent. We have a sci-fi, a huge paranormal romance contingent. We have a kind of YA light, if you will, maybe for the adult reader that wants a little nicer story with a little bit of a heat content to it. Our YA side is growing. And so, you know, as we get older, you know, we'll be two, as I said, as we get older, we'll flex those rules a little bit. You know, and luckily, the joke around here is, this is off color, I apologize, but again, once you get to know me, you know, I'm the one with the gun, so I get to make the rules.
Right, exactly, that's right, that's right. You're the sheriff,
there you go. If a great story crosses my desk and it does not necessarily fit nicely into a little category, it's my call, and I would never turn down a great story.
Okay,
but
that's a good thing
to know. I'm a sucker for love, though, so I'm always looking for that.
You know, this is brings about. We have a lot of young adult, you know, writers on, and you know, when someone is writing young adult, it's very difficult for them to decide, you know, because young adults have sex now. I mean, they just do. I mean, not now. It was forever. So, I mean, what classifies, like, a young adult, when you have some, do you add, is it okay or is it not okay? How do you feel about that? Well, what can people do about it? Because there's a lot of young adult books out there with some sex, and I think that's probably, that's what it is now.
Well, one of the hardest things that we had to decide was how in the world we would put a YA title that we market YA on a website with content, number one. So because as the mother of a tween, my compass is always going to side on the side of whatever is safest and best for the child. So we're not going to throw content up and say, hey, to find this YA title, you've got to weed through, you know, four hets, two menages, and three emails.
Right.
on the website. That was never going to be my goal. So I have said to the writers that
write YA or that have a YA feel is we go with content and then the age. And so if you see a story that Rebel has marketed and we have potentially titled it or listed it as YA, we are 18 and above before there's more than a kiss or a makeout scene.
Right, okay. Okay.
And they, so you are well aware in your mind the characters are 18 or older.
Okay. This was for me exactly what happened with me. Like when I was writing, you know, I wrote Virginia Templeton many years ago, and not exactly what I'm doing. You know, I'm using her character in various ways. However, when I wrote her, it's like now I, you know, she says things that were hard for me to say before, and she says them.
Sure.
Now, if you don't have some of the words that are hard for people to use, does that still make you feel like this is erotic romance? You know, I mean, but do the words have to be in there, or can they just be motions instead of saying some of the words?
You know, it can be both. I think that right now, as you know, this industry is imploding in a couple of different ways. Over
yeah.
the erotic, the erotica,
yeah.
you've got terms like mommy porn.
Yeah.
To the
yeah.
kid who lets us read things you'd never read because no one
yeah.
reads the cover. You're right, you're hearing all this. I think the most important thing, the distinguishing mark between the erotic and the erotica is there a love interest? Or is it a scene in a club and, hey, we barely knew each other's name and life goes on? And I think that's a very hard line. You can figure that out.
Okay.
I think in another story, we have to, when we publish titles, we have to assign a heat rating to them. And I'll tell
yeah.
you, more than anything, heat rating ties us up on load day. Because when I read it, you know, what I think is a 2 versus a 4 is very subjective to what you may think.
Yeah.
And so it's very tricky. I think that some of the best pieces are the emotional, some of the hottest pieces. We're talking about this heat and do you say the words?
Yeah,
some
right.
of the hottest pieces are an emotional connection.
Okay.
And I will say so far, and again, writers, I love y'all. So when I say this, I'm going to get emails all day. Some of my favorite emotional scenes have been MM, and I don't know why. It's not just that genre can hold that, but
yeah.
for me, heat can be completely emotional. The heat
mm-hmm.
level that we actually have to subscribe to a book,
mm-hmm.
I think they're looking for the words. They're looking for that graphic, raw language,
yeah.
descriptive. Yeah, so for
yeah.
me, very different than what I think the industry says tag this
right.
book as.
I agree with you on that. I agree. I see that because so which brings me to the point where, okay, this is how one of the things I always do is when I try things, I say what happened. I took the words out, put the words in. Took the words out, put the words in, go, oh, I'm taking them out, in, and then I said, you know what? This is how this character is. They're staying in. And I left it, and that's it. And that's why I felt as soon as the book came out last week, I decided that I would have to say who I was because I just felt like I was cheating people because just because I added a few words didn't mean that my writing wasn't good. It is. It's what it is. If they
right.
buy it, they buy it. If they don't, they don't.
Right.
But I was happy with the way it turned out. And, you know, Bethany, like I said, Bethany Cross helped me with this, and I'm doing another one. She'll probably have to add, you know, it's like some people have an easier time of writing a sex scene out than I can see it because I do scripts, but some of the putting the positioning, as we shall say, together, it's hard. It was hard. But
yeah.
I'm getting there. But at least now I can put it in.
Well, I agree, but I have to talk about this. You brought up something that I heard Bethany laughing. This makes me laugh. We have Barbies here at home office, and when I get a story, and there are 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 people going in 7 or 8 different ways, we literally sit here as a team going, okay, you can't move like that.
okay.
Our head would be sitting around her shoulders. Now, here, how do you justify that to a teenage little boy, right? I mean,
I know that, right. No kidding.
I know. So there are times we actually had, and Lila Monroe, you all know Lila. Lila is my just partner in crime and so many things. And we actually had the funniest conversation. Lila was reading an acquisition that we were taking a look at. And when we get a new story in, I have 4 people on the team
read a blind section. They don't have a name. They don't. And this
that's
is not
good.
It.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea. Yeah, yeah, very good.
In-house folks come to me, but these are new subs. And so when we get it, it goes in a blind, and they each get a couple of different chapters, and we have this little scoring rubric, and we're very scientific. And so there was a scene with a pickup truck. And Lila kept going, well, something about that scene wasn't right. So we were tempted, and she actually went to the neighbor who picked up and was like, where does my hip hit the tailgate? Where would my knee fall? I have to be 6'8". And she said her neighbor was looking at her like, get back in your own house. So we checked her out. You know, it's fiction. You can be a little bit, but I mean, not a lot. And so this is one of those things. So I had to talk about that because we've got the dolls.
That's true. It is true. That's why I said positioning is difficult.
Right. Old dates on the back of trucks. Not, the other funny thing is what you have to understand is writers get so upset about that. When you were talking about your character, you know, this character say it. It was the character saying it, not me.
Yeah.
We never, one of the most common questions, one of the big FAQs we get is, will you change my story? No, we would never. I mean, you know, your character's allowed if they talk slang.
Right, right,
they talk,
right.
You know, Henry James remains of the day or whatever.
Right.
We would never change that, but we will not leave something grossly inadequate. That we
right.
will change.
Right.
The fact
right.
has to be, and then I'll get, but it's fiction. Yeah, but we live in the real world, and unless you're on Mars,
yeah.
so we still live
right.
for
Right. I think this is these are things that people really don't understand. That's why I'm so happy that you came on, because the truth is you are a regular person. Like, you have children, you have a life, you have PTA, you have carpools. And I think this is one of the best things, is that people realize you are just like we're all the same. Basically, we just write differently, but sometimes. But basically, you know, just because someone swears doesn't mean they're a bad person. And come on, you can't tell me that people don't swear. You know, I mean, you know, that people,
yeah.
they do swear. Life. Life.
Well, she said, now, you know, you can't swear when you go on that show.
Right, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking of all the words. Like, I know, because, like, Bethany and I, we talk, and sometimes she still says, you know, it's difficult to say certain words. I'm getting to say, I could say them out loud now sometimes, but not all. But, you know, and that's really true, but it fits the story. It fits the character, how they talk. I can't help it, you know. And when I was reading my script that I had done 12 years ago, she was saying this. I mean, it was
sure.
And she said it then, 12 years ago, you know, and maybe somebody will, maybe they'll like this person. I loved her, Virginia Templeton, because she was everything I'm not, because she'd just tell people, like, hey, this is not, you know, the way it is, you know, and I'm always saying, oh, fine, you know, but she's a kind of person that sometimes, she doesn't do everything that you'd want to do, but there are sometimes you'd like to say things to people that you don't, and she says it. You know, and she can't, like, I'll go, oh, Virginia can say this. So I shouldn't say Virginia, because Virginia is my partner, Virginia Grenier, in the show. Virginia is stories for children. She has nothing to do with this. And, but, you know, I don't feel like, you know, my children's book or anything will suffer, because whatever it is, it is. You know, I have to be sometimes who I am. I, you know, a great name for Rebel's a great name, because I was not a rebellious teenager, but if someone told me a rule, I go, like, I don't like rules. I didn't do anything bad even. I never did anything, but rules, like, that's on my show. Everybody can say what they want, do what they want, talk about what they want, and I really don't care. That's why I've had many different genres on, and I like to do that because I like to show different sides of people, because that makes the world, not just one person or one type of person.
Well, it certainly makes our author pool diverse. This is a bit of a cutthroat world, this writing world. And if you get on Facebook and you take a look around, it looks like everybody's writing a book. And I think in the beginning, authors feel very special. They've written a story.
That was my conversation this morning. Right, right. Exactly.
Later, what the heck did I do? Everybody's writing a book. I'm not special, you know, but in their little world, they are. So this is a very cutthroat world that we live in. And I noticed everybody says, why can't I friend you on Facebook? Oh, good Lord, yeah, I don't think so. That is one of the most interesting microcosms going.
Yeah.
But I love to watch. I love to get on there. I'm a terrific watcher. And I see some of the little pettiness. I think that writers are afraid because they do feel very judged. Not only, I mean, when you write and you send a book out for review, you're saying, judge me.
I mean,
yep,
hey,
yeah,
judge.
Yeah.
And you don't know that reviewer is a 15-year-old in a basement or a reputable reviewer. We have some rules about where we send things, but our writers above and beyond that are free to do what they want. And unfortunately, ever so often, somebody ends up with their story in somebody's basement, you know, with a bookcase or, you know, and so it's tricky. But I do think that there's a defensiveness because you felt special. And then when you log on and you join a couple of communities, you realize everybody's writing a book. Ugh, doesn't seem special anymore. So I think that people have gotten to the point where it's interesting. You've said a couple of times now, picked up on it both times, you have a pen name, but ultimately you're proud of your story. Because what I'm hearing you say is,
I absolutely am. I have nothing for me to make up a name.
Right.
I am. That's, I like it. You know, and I really do like it. And, you know, I'm doing another one. I mean, I totally enjoyed this, and I totally was so happy. And this is one of the things that on my other shows I'll talk about with script writing. Unfortunately, most of the scripts that people do will never happen. So I'm thinking they should start writing stories, short ones, long ones, whatever, about their scripts and get it out that way, because it's very hard to sell scripts. I have had options on my scripts, but it costs so much money to make movies.
Right.
And, yeah, I do think people should come out and do what they want. And I think, you know, that people now, because they're reading other types of books, all of a sudden they think like, oh, have you read this book? I'm going like, you know, I have romance writers on my show. This is not unusual for me, you know. And it's like from people that I know, I'm seeing them get into a market that they've never gotten into. And I think the romance market is one of the hottest markets because there's different, it's not what people really think. They have stories. And these are good stories. And they're interesting people. And, you know, to be who you are, a lot of people don't want to be who you are. And that's why I've done this for all these years, and that's why I said this many times. And I told Bethany this. I said, I have to say who I am because I just feel like I make up names, so what? You know, I have different names. Writers can make up a name easy. So it's not hard to me. But I did feel that I did not want the people that listened to me to think that I was, like, ashamed of my character, because I'm not. I love her. I really do. I love Virginia Templeton, and I hope they'll like her, too. And I don't know how many I'll do of her. I don't know. I just keep liking the things I do, and I will move her in different directions. That's interesting that you said, because some of the words, I may not use a couple of those words because it doesn't matter to me now. Because now that I've done this, I see it's just I'm telling a story.
Absolutely.
So the wording is it's just whatever comes out.
Right, and some of that's it's just semantic debate. You know, some of that, it just really does not make a difference. Yeah, if your character's set and your character's strong, you can survive some of those little nuances and nobody notices. You know, when characters break down, totally different topic. That's a whole other radio show.
Yeah. Right, right. It is. And, you know, but I just think I've always told people that they need to write, and Bethany knows this. When I met her, she had a lot of stories, and I said, you got to finish these stories. She goes, okay, fine. And I go, no, you need to finish them. And when she sent me her first story, I just went like, this is really good. I mean, I read a lot of stuff, and I didn't say it because she was, but she has a good way of writing, and she talks like she writes, and, you know, and she's a fair, I think she's got a great career, and, you know, she knows how I feel about this, and I do, and I think she does, and I'm happy that she's become my friend to help me over the hump that I needed to do, you know, and I don't usually show people what I write or whatever. I don't ask a million people because if you ask a million people about a story, you're never going to get anything done because everybody has a different view on it, and, you know, necessarily they're not, you know, just because they don't like it, that's how I am in life. If I don't like a script and I think it's really a good script, it may not be the topic I like, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't take the script. Because I'm not going to be one-dimensional person that won't take anything that I might not like if it's a really good story. I think you're saying the same thing. You're looking for good story.
I love all of our stories for a reason. I can find something about the character or the story in every single, and I have read, I will admit, every single Rebel story, whether I've edited or not. I have a team of editors who don't edit them all, but I have read them all. And I will say there's something that I love enough about each of them to be proud to put my name beside that author's name.
Right,
absolutely.
Right. See, I think that's a very good thing, and I think that's really, you know, the way it is. And that's what, you know, people need to know is that you're not sitting back there and letting somebody else do it. You know what goes out. It's your name. It's who you are.
Right.
Now,
you know,
to that,
and I think, yeah, go ahead.
To that degree, let me just say, you know, reviews, we hit on that a minute ago. It is hard for me to let some of our stories be judged because I know that this is a first story. The author has talked with me. I know it's a series or I know it's a first story. And I know that we're going to be growing a writer and that the second story is going to be stronger and the third story. So, you know, early on, those first releases are always, and now Bethany, in the case of Bethany, she had such a fabulous first release. I don't know if you're familiar with her upcoming release.
Yes, I am.
Plug because we just worked it and got it wrapped up over the weekend. And, you know, the writing just gets stronger. It gets better. And so I just always hope that as much as I like watching the authors grow, I hope readers get that as well. And I know that, you know, we're so poisoned to the big box. If it's on the shelf, it went through enough eyes, it must be great. Well, as you know,
it's not.
You know, they're falling by the wayside. They're getting poor reviews. So I always hope that the readers grow with our authors.
Yes, because I always have, see, what I do is, what I have shows several of them about reviews, and I mention it, and everybody knows how I feel about that. I feel like some of the reviews are, you know, people have to realize that if they give it to 50 people and they're just people that may not have even read the genre, it's not fair to judge these by, I don't judge anybody by a review. I really, even with movies, because I go to movies that have one star and I go, this is really a good movie. What a shame that they gave it one star. Nobody's coming to see it.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I think that the reviews, I don't think they're right a lot of times, and people say, oh, you know, the reviews, but I don't believe that because, you know, just because a reviewer, and if they had a bad day or if something's wrong or if they don't like the subject matter, they're going to give someone a bad review that has a good book or a good movie, that's horrible. I think it's terrible. So I try to say that. Don't worry about the reviews because who cares? I don't have as many reviews as most people because I am not going to beg everybody to review my book. Because I don't feel, if they want to read it, fine. And they want to tell me it's good, that makes me feel fine. If they want to tell me it's bad and they want to write it, you know, if I get a 2-3 star, I haven't really gotten bad reviews, but I don't ask for a lot of reviews because I don't think I need 100 reviews. And I do not think anybody out there wants to look at 100 reviews to make a decision if they're going to read a book or not.
Okay, Marcia, can I jump in here for just a second?
Yes, definitely, jump.
You know, Mr. Thursday Night came out in March, my first one. This morning, just got another excellent review from none other than Fran Lewis, who does not read erotic romance.
That's not
her thing, you know. And she gave it like 5 hot knots or whatever she decided to rate.
And she gave a great synopsis of mine. I sent her yours and mine in a box because, you know, she said she doesn't read. You know, this. Or she says it 100 million times on every show. And I go, okay, Fran, you don't have to. And she's on she's on World of Ink. You know, and she's got a show. I think you have a show Thursday. And I said, okay, Sandra, I'm sending it. I printed them out. Fran can't read e-books as well. She doesn't like to because she has trouble with her eyes, and she reads like a book a minute. I mean, she's a speed reader, seriously. And so, yeah, she read mine like 2 minutes, I think. But I sent her, I printed out Sandra's and Bethany's, and I printed out mine, and she liked them. And this is like a big hurdle. This is like, you know, it's like really, she, you know, and because I said to her, you got to open up, you know, because these are stories. And I think she got my story completely. She gets the characters usually really good. You know, Bethany's crosses she did. And so I sent them because I said, this is what we're doing. We're sending them. I said, don't worry about it. We're going to do this. And so I think now that she'll be ready to read others because I think she now knows that these stories have a story. They are stories. They're not just sex. And so you're right. It's great that you said that, and it's true, because she is a very tough critic, and she says a million times she will not read these books. However, she just did. That's it. I sent her the box, and even if just because it's me or Bethany, she would not have said this, because that's not anybody that knows Fran Lewis. She doesn't do that. If she doesn't like it, she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So I think this is a good step for mankind. We've done this. That we've got
definitely
it out there.
For romance writers.
Definitely, you know, honestly, the truth is, and she's got a really, the site now that she has is reviewing books, and she's got like 8 reviewers now, so actually everybody can be reviewed now if you just send in to the, if you just go on that webpage, and there's 8 or so reviewers, and the books can be reviewed by people that actually, but one thing good about Fran is she does not put bad reviews out. And we like that about her because she doesn't want
right.
her yeah. writing.
If she doesn't like a book, she will do like a synopsis, like overview thing, and send it to the author, not publish.
Yeah. And so that's, I mean, she's fair that way. So that's a good thing for everybody now to know.
That is, and I will say this, I mean, reviewers, we're not going to pick on them too much. If a reviewer doesn't like a book, I think there's still a way to put out there enough about the book and to write a review. We had a Rebel title and the reviewer didn't like it and the review was hated this book. One sentence and that was
That's ridiculous. That's insane.
Yeah, no,
that's not a review.
Yeah.
That's an opinion. But it was just so interesting because every single author that I have spoken to, and we talk about this ad nauseum, every single author would say, give me one thing I can improve next time. The authors that care about writing, that care about wordsmithing, that want to write more than one story, that bucket list type book, and that's fine if that's somebody's goal, say, help me get better. What could I do to improve? Yeah. What was it that could have been better? And so I still think, I go to the adage that there's always a way to say something to be helpful without, you know, dashing a person, but by the same token, without the, I hated this book, one sentence. Well, I mean, really.
I know.
That person, you need to write a little better.
Yeah, and that's why one of the reasons is I'm glad that, you know, Fran has done this because she has 6 people that actually are reviewers because I think what most people don't know now is people can go on an Amazon, anybody can review anybody's book. And I'm not so sure this is really good because if they've never read a genre before or don't like the person or whatever, they write something. You know, I have a nonfiction book, which on a Holocaust survivor, they were talking about the fact that they liked the book, they didn't like something that she did. But I said, I had to write back because I usually don't do this, but I said, like, this is a real person's life. I wrote it as she told it to me. What can I do? Tell her to change her life? It's her story. It's a nonfiction book. You know, you can't change what she did, so why are you, I mean, but they liked the book, but I'm saying, so why are you writing this? I can't change it. You know, you can't change that. You know, and so that's why people have to be aware of what these reviews, some of them could be.
Well, and, you know, I think it's so interesting because it is so subjective. It is, you know, your kids yell at you, you have a fight with your spouse, you get yelled at by your boss. Most every one of our authors has a day job, they have a family.
Right.
You know, the review is the same. The reviewer's blogging, and the kids are playing, the dogs are barking, the UPS man's ringing, the bell, the mother-in-law is calling, same thing. So, again,
that's why I'm so glad you came on because you're so human and you're a regular person just the same. And so if people think that, you know, you might sit in a room, you know, and with, like, whips and chains, that's not what you do. You know, you are a person.
Do that after midnight, Marcia. Come on. Let me hear it.
Okay. that's the whole thing. You know, that's one of the reasons is you have to really feel like I do that the romance, everybody I all noticed very early on that they were having such a good time, and every other author, the children's author, the drama, everybody's going, all they do is complain all the time, and that's not going to help them any. They're just never happy, and I think the romance writers are having such a good time that this is fun.
It is a lot of fun. It really,
I think it's
really
great fun.
Really,
yeah, you know, I think it's really. You know, but so for us, you know, for that's why a lot of, you know, the writers that have been on your show, they've been very nice, and they, you know, they've always said what they think, and that's why I appreciate that you're coming on, because I really think this is a genre that nobody should be afraid of, because it's just a story, you know. I that's the name of my show. It's a good story. It's a good story, no matter what it is, you know. You know, listen, everything in life is not perfect. So there are things that happen, but hopefully we all have happier, you know, times. And sometimes the bad times make us feel better about the good times, you know. And so I think everybody has a life, like you're saying. And that's really one of the good things about this. I want to ask you a question about one thing. The short stories, I think this is a great market. How did you decide to do this? Because I think it's a wonderful idea to do these shorter stories.
The short story, you know, this is interesting. Bethany, close your ears, honey. I love you. Just remember, I said that first.
Okay.
Favorite. The short story, when I started down this road, I am a novel girl. I am a 60,000, 80,000 word novel lover. And so when the short story came about, we initially said we would not do short stories. However, the short story is the perfect segue into this world, and it is the perfect segue for the new or the younger, you know, the freshman writer. And so it didn't take long for the submission inbox to be flooded with short stories, most of them really, really good. And then what we realized, you had about five factors hit all at once. You have new writers that have a story to tell that don't have 80,000 words. So is that story any more or less valid? Well, of course not. It's every bit as valid as the big story. That's one factor. The second factor that you had is you have a backlist, the thought of a backlist. We have a lot of authors that are working on a novel that had short stories, had ideas, had second,
right, exactly, right,
whole characters, and said, hey, I can get my name into the world with a few short stories or maybe a series of short stories, and then my novel will hit the scene. And that's a genius marketing plan. That's a genius way to send readers to a backlist. Well, I think what's happened is we've seen the short story evolve. You know, there was a joke early on. The joke was the short story is a scene in my book. You know, and you'd have the novelist going, oh, you wrote a scene. Don't call it a story.
Right, that's it. End of story. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So we had to have that little war and get that over with. But now what I think, and then this third big factor that hit was the economy.
Yeah.
I think the economy said, whoa, hang on. You know, discretionary income took a dive a couple of years ago, and now the $9.99 or the $11.99 ebook and the big six, we don't talk about them a lot because we don't want to burn, but the big six still bring out their ebooks at very hefty prices, as you know.
I know that. It's ridiculous.
A lot of people, I won't get into it, but a lot of people.
No, I know. I see it too. It's
serious.
Not good.
Yeah, about $11.99, I mean, okay, you know, get over yourself. So, again, that's a whole other show.
No, right, because I agree with you on that, because you know what, you're more likely to read a book, to buy a book that's $2.99 or $3.99 or $4.99 than $11.99. I think I would. I don't. You know, that's one of the problems with self-publishing for children's books. It's too expensive.
Absolutely. So socioeconomically, you have the economy in America.
Yep, absolutely.
And discretionary income being, are we going to eat tonight better than, you know, Velveeta, or are we going to buy the five books on our wish list? And so I think socioeconomically that played a factor. I think timing for the short story to really explode like we've seen it explode, I think all those factors were good. Now, let me show this from my side of the fence. A short story is 17 times faster to edit. Plus, it gets to market quicker. You know, Bethany will tell you, she sent me a short story, and we are going to have it up within 6-8 weeks.
I know.
Versus
I know.
It's going to take 5 months.
Right. I know. And that's why I think it's great.
Yep, absolutely. I do, too. And I think it's especially, I think those writers that never want to do the novel and want to keep the short story as their thing, I think that is certainly fabulous, but I also would encourage anybody who thinks they have a story to tell to start with a really good short if they don't feel like it. If it's not 60,000
words. Absolutely. And you know what, to try to get into whatever market they're in. And, you know, years ago, a short story and poetry, you could never get anything done. Now, there's a lot that people can do with it, and I think that's really a great thing. And I don't write reviews because I am an agent. I don't think it's good for me to do that. And so, but I did, for Bethany, I wrote one because I feel like short stories, to me, will change a lot of people and allow them to get in somewhere that they never were ever going to get in. Go ahead.
Marcia.
Go ahead.
I actually wrote the short story, and you know this. We talked about this before I ever submitted it and decided it was going to be a short story. Mr. Thursday Night started out to be a novel, you know, a romance novel. And I needed someone to tell me that I wasn't wasting my time, you know, that I actually could write. And that's why I put him as a short story, and I am actually working on the full-length book, but I just needed somebody to tell me I wasn't wasting my time, you know.
Right.
I mean, there are so many great writers out there, and with the short story, that's actually what I did, you know. I think that's why it was great,
and I know you're doing that, and see, that's because you're out there now. You are out there. People like your work, and you've got the confidence that you need. Look, at everything we write is not always going to be perfect, but you got the confidence to get it out there, and people are liking what you wrote, and it's sitting in a drawer. It's not going to do anything.
I have so many stories. I've still got like 18 on my desktop that I'm just finishing off, you know.
And you will. And, you know, and I think, you know, and I'm sure that Elizabeth agrees with me. You know, some stories, look, some things we like better than others. But you know what? When it comes down to it, getting the job out there and getting it done and getting a cover on it and making it like, you know, people like I mentioned to Bethany this morning when I talked to her earlier, I said, you know, one of the problems I find now when I'm reading books is certainly when I'm writing it on the iPad, I'm waiting for that book to end. It's way too long. Okay? It's way long. Okay? And, you know, somebody had mentioned that Rebel does not pad books, and I think that's a wonderful thing because I can see where they're padded. Mm-hmm. Because when you pad a book, this is the part where you go, when is this book ending? And this is not what any reader, what any writer wants. Somebody to say, when is this book ending? Because they should have ended maybe 25, 30 pages before, taken out the first chapter. It wasn't right. You know, so I think that making a concise, good book and making someone really enjoy it, that's really what it is. It's not sitting there going like, when is this book over?
Now, let me say, I'm going to jump in here. Now, first off, I got about three things. My brain's going crazy.
Okay, go ahead. Stephanie,
18 things in your computer, honey. You've got my attention. Just wanted to let you know I did not miss that. First off, I took off the big stuff now.
That's why you're getting so many so fast.
Believe me, I'm pushing her. Don't worry about it. I'm pushing.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. But I think what's interesting now, authors, is padding. Let's talk about this just for a second.
Yes.
The padding the story, there were a group of writers that decided that, again, they might be a little better than other writers based on this word count. And, you know, I said, you wrote a scene. You didn't write a story. That's a scene in my book, blah, blah, blah. And this was a couple years back, maybe getting to 3 years back, and this was going around the novel versus the short story, blah, blah. When that all decided to kind of clear itself up and everybody moved on, there are still a group of novelists that are deeply, deeply wounded and offended if you tell them, this prologue really isn't a prologue. You say it again in chapter 3, and you just told this whole story from Susie's point of view, and all you're redoing is now Bill is telling the whole thing. We've got it. And let me tell you what, I have had a couple of writers leave Rebel and say, that's changing my story. It's got to be in there. And, you know, that's fine. However, much like you, two things in the ebook world drive me insane. Here they come. Write it down. Padding a story. When Rebel pads stories, I'm no longer the sheriff, and that won't happen, so that won't happen. Number one.
Exactly. Right. No, exactly. Right.
It happened. Yeah, and
the padding stuff came on a review of Mr. Thursday Night. Somebody said in a review that someone at Rebel should have told me to pad my story because it should have been a novella instead of a short story.
And it was on my show. We should send her that show. I'll send you the link. I should send you the link of that show. Because Bethany Haley called in, and it was I was really ready to hang up on my own show. This was very upset because I thought it was so wrong. Okay, and I'll send you the link to that show because, you know, honestly,
I'm glad that you said that
you're not padding because I really think that I can tell when it's padded because I'm going like, oh, my God, finish this up.
Well,
and you don't want
to. I never say to myself, when's it going to be over? But I start using that thumb and hitting that Kindle, boom, boom, boom. And I'm flying. I'm reading two words a page, and I'm flying through it. So I don't like that either. I read a book from start to finish this morning before, long before we got together here, And the second thing that drives me crazy is I don't want a lot of fluff when the book is really, you know, I'm always checking my Kindle, 80%, 85%, 89%. I want a book to be 100% and then a bunch of other stuff at the end. I don't want 90% in that book to be over either, whether it's a 5,000-word short story or a 120,000-word novel. So both things, you know, kind of drive me nuts. I don't like a lot of padding for a lot of other advertising and a lot of that at the end either. And
yeah,
so see,
right, right. You know, because, you know, I think the best way for people to learn how not to pad is if you do, because I'm a screenwriter, and I, the reason I went into screenwriting is because I wasn't as descript, or I didn't go on and on as much as I should have in certain things. So script writing is a great way to learn how to write a book, because you have to edit yourself in 120 pages. It cannot be longer than that, and you better move on, because they're not going to look at it in Hollywood if you're going to send them 200 pages. You cannot. So that's a good way for people to learn how to edit out. I did. That's one of the things I learned, editing out in my head. You know, and I think that all of these things that you've said today, I think it's great meeting you. I mean, it really is. I'm very happy that I've heard, you know, I know some of the authors for so long, you know, for the last couple of years, but it's great. You know, and I just want to say that any of your authors are welcome on my show. So if they want, you know, you can tell them that they can come on and we'll have Rebel Press, you know, Rebel Ink Press shows, you know, because I do that with World Castle Publishing. I have one of my books is with them. And I think that people have to really get out. And even if they hate to do shows, I usually have four or five people on a show so nobody ever feels uncomfortable, because sometimes if it's your first time, you're nervous.
Well, sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that would be perfect. We have a lot of really phenomenal new, you know, young talent. They've not done any more, you know, higher level serious marketing or things like this. I think it would be wonderful. You seem like you'd be the perfect hostess for them.
Well, so. I enjoy it. It's fun, and we'll see how this all goes for everybody. But I think now we've given them a whole different side of what this writing is, you know. And I think people we didn't leave anything to the imagination this time. It's like this is how.
And
it
there's
is.
Nothing wrong with that. So that's a good thing.
No, I agree. I agree. Now I certainly agree. Yes, I'm learning to agree on that. You know, but I think this is fun, and I think that, you know, I appreciate you coming on, and I know you have, like, a routine. And, Bethany, I hope you feel better, because I know you didn't feel good. And so, and I wanted to thank everybody. And there is a show. Let's see. I think we have a show. You can leave anytime you want, you know, Elisa, because I don't want to keep you here, because I just probably should talk about the shows we're having on. Will you come on again? You feel free. Anything, and if you have anything that is, you know, you want to talk about or a subject matter that you want to bring up, feel free to do it here. So let me know. I'm open for all things. And take care. Have a great day.
Well, you too. Thanks for having me. Thanks for adjusting.
You're welcome.
And we'll talk soon. Bethany, feel better.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. And Bethany, you have a show tomorrow with Fran, right?
No, yeah, Sandra's doing Fran.
Oh, no.
Sandra.
Yeah, you are. Okay.
Yeah, Sandra's doing Fran. Wednesday and Thursday, they have a show.
Okay, and we have a show on Tuesday. Okay, let me just, I probably should say what we have. Okay, and I think, let's see, there's a show on Saturday. I will say right now what, I can't do that right now. Okay, well, anyway, all right, we have a show, you have a show Thursday on this network. Do you know what time it is? It's at 1. I wanted to go in. Let me just for 1 second. I probably should get
Schedule. This week or at 2:00.
Okay.
2 Central.
All right. I wanted just to make sure. Of
we have a show on Tuesday night, the 26th,
yes,
I think.
Yes, we have a show on Tuesday night. But I just wanted to see if I can get into this to look at the shows that we're having. Because I know... I wanted to give the times. Okay, here we go. Let's see. All right. Franz is right. It's at 2 p.m. Eastern. Or is it?
Right.
2 p.m. Eastern. Okay. And it's on Focus Discussions. And that is the show on Tuesday. Because the timing is always different, right? It's 3 p.m. Eastern. No, it's 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, 1 p.m. Yeah, Mountain. Okay, and noon. And that is Brian Freeman is on that show. That is with Fran Lewis. She's Faces Behind the Stone. That's her book. All right. And she's on this network. And let's see. There's a J.D. Holliday has a show on Saturday. It's Story Time Gather Around, which is a really cute show, and she's picking up a big audience. It's stories for children. It's a very short half-hour show, and there's readings for the children. And so it's early in the morning. It's 8 a.m.
Excellent show.
Right. It's not. It's a really – it's a good story. And then we have our show, which is A Good Story is a Good Story, on next Tuesday. The month is going so fast, I can't even believe it.
I know.
You're on that show. Kathy Barton, Charlotte Blackwell, Joanne Buchanan, they're all from World Castle, which we will be having more shows from World Castle on Tuesdays starting in July, and you and I will be on that show, okay? And your new books will be out, and the covers are beautiful.
Yeah, Simple Seduction comes out July the 3rd with Rebel Inc., of course, and I just got my contract for the third one. So,
it was great having her on. It really was great. She gave some great information. And, you know, it's amazing how, you know, people, like, I don't know her, and how much we think alike on some of the things that we were talking about because, you know.
Yeah, she is excellent.
Yes,
excellent.
And she is. And she has a ton of
work. Open door policy. Yeah. No matter, I mean, she has so many of us now, and still,
over 40,
if you need her, she is right there. It's just amazing the things she does. Yeah.
And so we'll be having different shows on there because I want to show the faces of, you know, different kinds of romance. And so I think this has been fun, and I appreciate that you helped me. And I'm doing another one. And she's right, because I'm going to do three and then make it in a novel, hopefully. You know, and I just think it's great for people to start out, you know, that way. And she agrees.
And your story is a great story. Virginia is such a fascinating character. She's just that character that, I mean, every woman knows a woman like this.
Yeah.
And she just... She's the woman that you just love to hate.
Yes, and you know, it's woman empowering. You know, empowering. You know, this is life now. You know, and I think showing strong women in romance books is a good thing because we are strong.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just chick flicks that they call them in movies. It's not really; they're just characters. And I look at all this as characters. And so your books, you'll have had three out in this one year, which is good, great. And you got more.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like she said, you have all those others. So all right, so you're going to be. Pushing out, I would have made you do those others. I think it's good that somebody understands, you know, how a new writer thinks, and I think that Rebel Inc. does that, and I think she's given a lot of people a lot of chances out there, and I think that's great because that's what you need. You need someone to say yes.
Yeah, well,
we
she
gotta
don't
get
just
Hollywood.
Take
we get the Hollywood.
For her, it's not building the company, you know, just on the money, the story, you know, number of stories that she has out. And so she actually works with each one of us, you know, to get better.
But I think she's
an amazing woman. Yeah.
I was so happy she came on. Even though that's what we're doing an early show now. And now I should go to bed. So I'm all going to be all screwed up. Now. I'm up early anyway. I really am. Even though I'm up late, you know. Because there's so much to do. That's the thing.
Yep,
we're all doing so much marketing. But, you know, it's really important.
I think we nap instead of actually sleep. You know, a couple hour nap and right back at it.
Yeah, I got to go to work. But anyway, I think this has been fun. So, you know, you've got your shows tomorrow. And we want to say, if Fran's not listening because I know she's at the dentist, but thanking her for reading our story. So, that you know,
yes.
I think she's got a different – I think she has a different feeling now because she gets the character. She really does.
No matter how many
books she reads, she gets them. And she's great for a synopsis. She goes right to the heart of it on every story.
Yeah.
I mean, she got Virginia. She really does.
You know in her reviews that she actually gets the story. She gets the characters. Yeah.
I know. That's a really good thing. Not everybody does that. It's very hard to do.
No.
She gets all – that's why people want her reviews, because she gets it.
That's right.
Very few people do, and I think that talking to E about with the reviews and all, I mean, that's really what we have to concentrate on, doing good work, not worrying so much about everything else.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, I think it's about the work, and it's about continuous work.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got three out, you just keep going. When she heard 18, you probably should be calling. Where are these books?
Yeah, well, she's got three, you know, I mean, just here in the last little while.
Yeah,
and
your covers are great.
About
the covers are great. I mean, they do, really, it's really a lot different
covers
than people think, and that's why she showed up today.
I call him the magic man because he just gets the stories, I guess, you know, they just fit so well. It's amazing the way he does it.
And the young adult market, see, that's very interesting. So, you know, and people can progress and do different things, but it depends on the market, and she's very cognizant of that because she has young kids. So it brought out a different side of her, I think, that people didn't know. So I think this will be good. It's good for everybody. And so we will have, I know there are a few people that I was going to have on too. You know, I was actually going to take a few weeks off, but I think I'm going to have a long, I don't know. I enjoy the shows for me because I've learned so much from them. And as I write, even all these years, I've never learned as much as I learn now. So I think thank you for today, and I hope you feel better. And
I love doing the show with
really
you.
It's a really good, interesting show. And I will send her the show. I'll email her the show.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye. Goodbye,
right.
Everybody,
bye-bye.
And have a good week. It's warm in Chicago, and have a good day. Go swimming or something. Take care. Bye-bye. I don't swim. Bye. What a surprise that was.
Yeah, read a book.
Bye.